Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, today's a big day. Merseyside, it's Liverpool and Everton. I got to see if Dan Friedkin is here so I can go to his house and watch it. The owner of Everton has a business here.
Yeah, Dan Friedkin probably
there.
You might be listening and maybe invite you over.
Dan, if you're listening, 713-780-3776. I won't bring anyone else except maybe Kevin Cooper, another Evertonian, and Tony the Handsome from Twitch. He's also an Evertonian.
Yeah.
The three of us.
Coop's
four
an
of us,
Evertonian?
Who?
Coop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Big Evertonian, yeah. Mm. Yeah, the three of us can...
Like everybody should have known that. Okay.
The three of us can go watch at your house.
It makes sense that he's an Evertonian. He worked for the Texans.
Yeah.
It makes sense that he would root
for
Everton.
Very similar
too. Yeah.
Backgrounds.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does.
Lose games late. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Swarm Texans are a little
mediocre,
better than. The Swarm Texans
Everton
have been better than
they're
Everton.
Texans mediocre.
Texans mediocre.
They wish they were that.
The Texans wish that?
No, Everton wishes they were Texans mediocre. It's true. It's true.
We've been on a. Ever since Moyes has been back.
You've been saying that for a while. Yes.
We're on a heat up.
Yeah.
So, Dan, if you're listening, congratulations. John likes your golf courses.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping maybe we could be friends.
Congaree. Holy crap.
Yep, I love Congaree. 713, and it's named after Hank Conger, who was the former catcher of the Houston Astros. Congaree.
I don't know why. I don't know why they named it Congaree, but it is. It's spectacular.
Your Houston Texans are a team in the United States, and they play in the National Football League.
Yes.
Super Bowl odds came out yesterday.
What?
Pre-draft, but post-free agency.
Okay. Is it more disrespectful than the Rockets?
Yeah.
It is?
I'd say it's on the same level.
Is it?
I'd say it's on a similar level.
Why are our teams so disrespected?
You know. Okay. You know.
This is Championship City, okay?
Is it?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
two World Series.
Go on.
Two NBA titles.
How many teams?
30, okay.
How many teams
30
from the
years
AFC
ago,
are ahead
okay.
of them?
Huh?
How many teams from the AFC are ahead of the, start naming them, ahead
in,
of
in
the
AFC?
To win the Super Bowl. This is just to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, obviously, it's the Chiefs
right?
and the Ravens.
That's correct.
And
although the Ravens are behind the
Bills.
Correct.
Oh no, I'm not giving it any order. You said which ones?
Okay.
Those three. We're gonna go with the. Gosh.
Yeah.
Bengals.
That's correct.
Bengals are gonna be
Bengals
ahead.
Bengals are there ahead.
Don't tell me that the Steelers are ahead.
The Steelers are ahead.
Wow.
They literally have no quarterback right now, and they're ahead.
Don't tell me the Broncos are ahead.
No, actually, the Broncos are not.
The Chargers?
Chargers are ahead, yeah. And then the Texans. Seventh. They're the seventh best in the AFC, but they're also behind these
teams. And again,
teams.
This is about betting. It's about gambling. And there's perceptions that are involved.
Yeah, but these are pretty.
Plus, there are named teams that are.
Yeah, but I don't, you know.
Now, all of those, listen, maybe not the Chargers.
I mean, the named teams, Dallas Cowboys are.
Listen, there's none of those teams other than the Chargers that the Texans should be behind.
You mean should be ahead of?
Should be ahead of.
Steelers?
Steelers, okay.
Steelers don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, Steelers and Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that'd be fifth.
Yeah.
I'm totally cool with
that. Yes, yes.
Fifth is fine. And even if you're given the Joe Burrow bump where you just anticipate somehow the Bengals are finally going to play
two
well.
Years ago, so.
Yeah, but he's not like, what are they going to do now? Is their defense going to be better?
Well,
is Trey Hendrickson going to play? They had terrible pass rush, and Hendrickson doesn't want to play there anymore.
No.
So what are they going to do about pass rush?
Well,
like
they had terrible pass rush with
the Bengals are a lot of talking a badge. Here's the NFC.
I don't know.
Here's the NFC.
I know you.
All right, show me.
Yeah. Well, they did.
Show well, me. That's now.
Joe Burrow has been healthy now for 1 year in a row.
Isn't that now three seasons ago?
Well,
it's three seasons
still
since.
There.
Yeah.
That's a lifetime in the NFL.
No. We're not doing 3 years anywhere. Ago. You were wearing a mask 3 years ago. Stop. Here's who the NFC has. Here's ahead.
Philadelphia. Still likes to wear a mask.
Philadelphia
well,
Eagles.
Not for the virus, for other stuff.
I don't want to know anything.
What?
Philadelphia
what?
Eagles.
You heard me.
Detroit Lions, San Francisco 49ers are ahead of the Texans. They don't even have a wide receiver. The Rams are ahead. The Commanders, I would say this is a little disrespectful to the Commanders to be this far back, to be honest with you. The Green Bay Packers are ahead of the Texans. The Texans are 14th. They're 14th in the NFL on the odds to win the Super Bowl. That's not very swarm.
Well, they're middle of the pack team. That's what they are.
You would have never said last year. We would have said sixth or seventh worst case scenario.
Right, but then everybody woke up just like in 2012 when
they won the same amount of games, got past the first round again, and had Kansas City reeling for a good chunk of that game.
Did they?
Yeah, they were ahead of them until there were some mistakes made. No. Kansas City's offense wasn't good. You just got azeezed.
No, that's true.
You got azeezed in coverage, but honestly, like. What's different between when we thought going into this after their first year, I guess we expected a big leap, and they didn't do it. So now that they didn't make the big leap, they're like, okay, 14th. I actually think I like this. I like that that people are kind of discounting them a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
Just to clean it up, the Texans never had a lead in that game.
You sure?
I'm looking at it right now. They never led.
It's kind of like they led, though.
No, the closest they were tied at three. They never led.
Wolves.
But they were.
Because remember.
Yeah, but don't forget how many times they got sacked, which took them out of.
Because yes. Yeah, sure. Remember, it was.
The Chiefs did nothing.
Though. It was 13-6. They scored a touchdown. Kaimi missed the extra point.
Oh, that's right.
And then the Chiefs immediately went down and scored a touchdown, and that was pretty much the ball game.
Did you see Kaimi Fairbairn hit Kay Adams with a stray shot at the golf tournament at the, I don't know, whatever golf tournament it was.
I'm glad you finished that with the golf.
I thought he was shooting a shot at her.
No, he hit a ball, it faded, it bounced, and it hit Kay Adams, who already, even before she got on the course, she said she's deathly afraid of getting hit by a golf ball, and she got hit by Now, it was, to be fair, it was like rolling up and kind of hit her, like bounced.
Oh, it didn't, come on, Kay.
It didn't give her one of those. Okay.
Well, she does weigh 12 pounds, so.
That could kill her.
It could kill her.
It could kill her.
Yeah.
I just think that this is, you know, the Minnesota Vikings are right behind the Texans, and then the Broncos and Tampa Bay. They're all in the same category. With the way the Texans rush the quarterback, with the takeaways they have, aren't you just a bounce back year from CJ Stroud away from being.
Well,
a shot at the AFC.
Well, I think you're an offensive line away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's that thing. Remember that?
Well, you got a bunch of different guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I needed you to say difference makers, not just different guys.
No, I tried to be accurate.
Well, then I...
We shuffled the deck.
Well, great.
You don't know if Ed Ingram's getting ready to finally have a good year in the NFL.
You don't know that he's going to have an average year.
You don't know that Laken Tomlinson's not going to have his best year of his entire career this year.
You don't know that promoting the understudy... to the head office line coach of one of the worst rooms in football is going to work out. You don't know
that Cam Robinson's not going to be fired up by a 1 year contract and in a prove it contract and play his best football since Alabama.
So after he got traded to Minnesota, that didn't fire him up enough because he was coming into a contract.
This is when he's finally like pissed off.
Gotcha.
Well,
gotcha.
The reality set in, and
he's pissed off when he was terrible and then he got one year, $10 million.
From 335 pounds.
Hold on. He was the worst offensive lineman in giving up pressures last year once he got to Minnesota and got rewarded with a double-digit million-dollar deal. You think he's going to be pissed off about that?
Because I heard Kevin talking about him. And
Kevin
he
who?
Said, Kevin O'Connell. Oh. And he said, oh, my God, we had Darren Shaw get hurt, and Cam Robinson came in, and we won 9 straight games. Okay.
You didn't mention that part.
Maybe you didn't think about 9-0.
How did Cam Robinson do down the stretch in their last
couple
games?
Sounds like 9-0.
The last two games.
Yeah.
That was a Sam Darnold problem.
That was Sam Darnold.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold got
came back to Earth. The pumpkin turned into a walrus or whatever it is.
I don't know. The pumpkin was the thing. Princess or the coach got turned back into a pumpkin.
Sorry.
Whatever.
Sorry.
Either
sorry,
way.
Sorry, your little theory We just shut it down.
I am just
Kevin O'Connell shut it down.
All Cam Robinson does is win.
How come
is
he didn't
you've told me.
So they made multiple moves on the offensive line and then bring him back?
Okay, that could be one of the reasons they're down a little lower is the perception of this offensive line.
Okay. Yeah.
The national perception, quote unquote. Here we know that there's always a chance that they could swarm.
So at any point. So I just want to be clear.
A unit could swarm.
Kevin O'Connell was so happy with the guys, and particularly Cam Robinson, they traded one of their offensive linemen, Ed Ingram, and then the Texans signed the other one because of how good those guys were in Minnesota?
How good they were.
Okay. All right.
Just so you know, you just said it. Hey, join us this Friday at River Ranch, Dayton, a new community just northeast of Houston. 16 new model homes, homes from the high 200s to the 500s, featuring the Angel Lagoon with white sand beaches and turquoise water. This is a must-see community. ESPN Houston will be there from noon to 6 with Paul Gallant and the Killer Bees. Learn more at riverranchdayton.com. How about that? Look at that. White sand beaches and turquoise water. You feel like you're in Tahiti when you're at River Ranch. How about that? So get on out there in Dayton. We're breaking it now. 713-780-3776. We got people coming on in. Come on. 713-780-3776. All right. Welcome back. We haven't even mentioned Buzz Williams to Maryland. Buzz Williams leaving A&M, going to Maryland. I don't know. Listen, the stuff that Kevin Willard was saying about the program at Maryland, I mean, are you sure that this
is how cheap it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't put anything into it. They don't have the NIL money. They don't have they make them, I mean, they're cheap on their travel and everything else. And is that a better job than A&M?
Well, Scott Van Pelt won't allow Willard to slander his program. He went on his own podcast and took Willard apart for all that. But Buzz Williams gets a 5 to 6 year itch. 5-6 years. I'm out. That's what he is.
Yeah.
He'll hang around and then go find another job. It's not a bad formula if you think, I'd rather leave and get a new contract before they tell me to go. Although they made the tournament, so I'm not sure why he did it with them. But he's done it. Like Marquette, he left in a big, pretty good spot. Went to go take a Virginia Tech job where he had to rebuild the program. So this is not beyond him.
Yeah, I guess. I guess he's got an itch that he's got to – I mean, there's always – it's always greener, I guess. New money, you know. Listen, I had heard behind the scenes, and I've said it a few times, A&M people did not like Buzz. I don't know
– What's the problem?
I don't know that he liked to do it the Aggie way. I don't know that he was all of that – I don't know that he was all that accessible with the fan base. That
kind of a John Malkovich.
Thing? I don't know. John McAvick.
John Texas. Remember that?
Yeah, they thought
he was the wine drinker and the sweater guy. Not in the same way, but that he didn't fit culture. I'm talking about that he didn't fit culture of A&M.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but I heard from a buddy that was always saying, "Man, the guys are just ripping them, just ripping them."
He's always a good coach.
Listen, a lot of you wanted him gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
Now,
he's been a winning coach everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
They've gone to the NCAA tournament 3 straight years. That's not a given at Texas A&M. Although they've not been bad at basketball, but it's for Buzz. Is it a step down? A step up? It feels like a new side. Like, the SEC got really, really hard this year in basketball. Well, it's not always going to be like that. You're always going to be second fiddle.
Well, the Big Ten was no joke.
You're always a second fiddle. Yeah, that's true. But you're always a big second fiddle to the football. Uh-huh. Is that the case in Maryland? Basketball? Football? I think basketball.
It's a basketball school.
Uh-huh. I think Buzz wants a basketball school. Yeah. It will never be a basketball school at A&M. It's not possible.
Never.
The question is, can you even take a legitimate step up in basketball from a perception standpoint at the university? Now, maybe it doesn't matter if people just go support you and fill up the stands. I don't know what the attendance was like. I don't know what any of that was like. But if you're telling me A&M didn't want Buzz, the fans didn't, or person or the front, you know, the money people or whatever, then I'm sure Buzz knew that.
Yeah.
That probably played into it. I'm sure it was mutual at some point.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know one of the money guys pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
Did he like Buzz?
Huh?
you know, at least one of the did the money guys like?
Yeah, Buzz? He did. Yeah, you know, he actually when I've said this before, he was like, I like Buzz. What are you talking about? And I'm like, well, not all of you do. I can tell you that. There's more than a few people that did not that weren't all on board with Buzz basketball. So, well, now you got some of you got your wish come true, and others are probably going to be pissed off. Why are you going to Maryland from Texas A&M? You're in the best conference in college basketball. And that's funny. You're in the best conference of college basketball. You're in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, the program is humming along pretty nicely. You've got security at your job. And yet, here, he's taking off. Maybe there was something behind the scenes that he didn't like about Texas.
I didn't know that he went to, I should have known, because I'm sure when he was on, it was brought up. He's a A&M Kingsville grad. He's a Texas guy. And was like, nah, I've had enough. I want to go coach in Maryland. You would think this was a place he would be cool with staying. He was a former assistant here. I mean, not here, but at A&M. You would think this would be a place he'd be like, you know, I want to be here. And it was like, no, I'm going to take another job.
Yeah.
I don't know what A&M could have, I mean, beyond the backbiting and maybe they didn't like him, what could A&M have done? The location seemed like it would be great for him. They spend, and still, I want to go.
You need to ask Rock what's going on.
I will. I'll check with Rock.
Yep.
I hope Rock gets that job, but I doubt it. Rock did have a head coaching job at Lamar. One of his assistants, Steve Rockford, huge Astros fan. Huge. He's from the Beaumont area. He got the Lamar job, but, you know, it didn't work out at Lamar. I don't think he has the the pedigree to get the head coaching job. They're going to look for, I mean, it's the SEC. They're going to look for a big-name coach.
Yep.
The Aggies are.
Yep. Let's get.
They better not come calling trying to buy out Kelvin Sampson, because we're not doing that.
Well, it's
we're not doing Kelvin Sampson.
Well, they did it with the.
Wait
Kevin.
A minute. You think that Kelvin Sampson might go to Texas A&M?
They did it with the Kevin.
Huh?
They did it with the Kevin.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Huh?
What's that PJ look like at UH right now? U of H. What's that? He got a PJ yet?
I don't think Kelvin ain't worried about no PJ right
well,
now.
He's well, not now. He's also recruiting very well.
He just got a new contract.
He's recruiting. Well, that but never
that
matters.
Doesn't, that won't keep the Aggies potentially from calling saying, we'll buy out of this.
Yeah.
We've owed Jimbo $94 million or whatever still. We're paying on that. We're
Kelvin,
getting that debt service.
Kelvin
we're
did
fine.
Say yesterday that he loves the city. You can. I don't know if it's a compliment to people, the fan base. You can walk around. No one even recognizes me. It's great here.
Yep.
I love Houston.
Yeah, he did say that. You go get gas and no one
that a backhanded
I don't
shot?
Know, but he likes it not being recognized.
No, he said he loves it.
He probably does.
You go to Texas A&M and get gas, guess what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're going to swarm you, and not in a good Kevin Sumlin way.
Not in
the
D'Amico Ryan swarm.
Ryan's
way.
Right. Yeah. Chris, and well, let's break, and when we get back, we'll get Ryan, Chris, we'll get you guys in here on the other side.
Will they whoop him at the gas station?
Yeah, they'll whoop him. Yeah.
The problem is, he would have to do it back, and at some point, just get tired of him.
No, Kelvin Sampson will not go to A&M for one reason only. It's not because he has a contract with Houston or he wants his son to take over Houston. I could never see him doing, if they made him do the Aggie stuff, no offense, Aggies, that's fine that y'all do that, but Kelvin's not the one. I can't see that being the case.
And I don't know that Kelvin's going to listen, he's good with the fan base here, you know, with
yeah, just stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. Exactly.
I don't think A&M is a stay in your lane school.
No, I could see some of their big donors coming up. Hey, Kelvin, what about running a 3-2 zone?
Hey, why don't you ever run a 2-3 zone?
2-3 or 3-2.
Like Syracuse used to.
Oh my god. Time to talk about Access Vascular Health. That's my girl. All right. She is, Doc Manavis is awesome. She is really, really smart. That's Yale smart people. And she's got a way for you to take care of. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that she can do for you. All right. If you have a prostate issue, if you're going to the bathroom too much, middle of the night, getting up multiple times, your quality of life just isn't as good as it could. And it can be dangerous because you get liver problems, kidney problems, all these problems. It could be leading to your ED as well. Listen, she is fantastic. Like 99.9% of the people that she treats end up, it works out perfectly for them. So here's the deal. You're looking for the best way. If you have an enlarged prostate, Doc Vanavese, Access Vascular Health is here for you. It's an IV, takes about 45 minutes, and you are 100%. And listen, it cures ED as well. So if you've got an enlarged prostate, take care of it. Don't get surgery. Go to 975prostate.com. That's 975prostate.com. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 975 and 925-713-780-3776 is the number. Let's hear. Let's hear from some callers. We asked for calls, and we got some calls. Let's get them in here. Chris, you were first up. What do you say, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. This is how I know Buzz Williams, and I called him for the Texans, but I want to have a comment about Buzz Williams. This is how I know he wasn't liked, because any coach that's liked would have, at A&M specifically, would have leaked that they're leaving, and A&M would have rushed in and given him 10 years, $500 million.
Good point.
That's true.
And then the next year he would have tanked and then gotten all of his money up front and moved to a ranch in West Texas.
So, that is,
and that's
so
how I know he wasn't liked.
No.
Right? So I know Lance has always hit on that about the A&M guys in the past. But my Texans comment is, Nico has trouble staying healthy a couple times a year. It feels like two or three games he has something going on. And I love Nico. He's a great receiver. I tend to get where I think more highly of C.J. Stroud than maybe NFL guys. And John and Lance, I think you're spot on. Like, our offensive line needs help. But what about receiver? If Nico were to go down, let's say he goes down for three games or two games, I mean, I don't see how we would have any offense. Joe Mixon's a good player, and the guy we got from Jacksonville is meh. But what would you guys think about offense? And then is there a free agent receiver that's out there, or do we address that in the draft? I don't feel like we can. We've talked on the show like 100 times about O-line, D-line, cornerback, things like that. I just wanted to see what are your guys' thoughts about an actual solid number two receiver. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings to get him in the second round or third round.
Mm-hmm.
Who's name some guys?
It's a little lighter wide receiver draft this year. I mean, you can always find help, but there's not number ones, but we don't need a number one, so that's not bad. In that area of where they draft wide receivers, you could be looking at include. Let's see, second round. Hold on a second. All right, here we go. You could be looking at maybe Jack Best from TCU if he makes it to you at second round. Big, strong, came from LSU, went to TCU, doesn't drop anything. He's big, strong. He's a better Kevin Walter. How about that? Sleep tight. Trey Harris, maybe. Ole Miss, more of a vertical receiver. I don't know if that's what they want. Well, he's the Z receiver, so possibly. He's big. He runs like in the 4.5s, but he tends to win down the field, and he's very tough after the catch, like very physical. He's 215 pounds, but he plays like he's 230. He's very physical. Kyle Williams, that's the guy to keep an eye on. Washington State, he's swarm. Very tough. Steve Smith told me he has that scary mentality. Like, hey, get serious. He's a guy that steps in a wide receiver room and says, get serious. In fact, Smitty told me he had that Tank Dell mentality. When that's where I first found out that Tank Dell, I said, Tank Dell? He goes, yeah. He said, why do you think that Steph Diggs was not a problem in that room for Houston? And I was like, well, I assume it because he's on a contract year. He goes, no, Tank runs the show in there. I said, Tank does? He goes, oh, yeah, Tank runs that show. I said, little Tank run over Nico and Stephon Diggs. He goes, Lance, I know what I'm talking about here. Tank, and I'm not trying to argue with Steve Smith. He said, Tank Dell runs the show in that wide receiver room. I said, okay. And he goes, Kyle Williams, Washington State, same kind of way, only even more of a dog. And he gave me a great background on the kid. He's fast. He's physical. He can get open. And he's got swarm. You got to have swarm.
That's all.
He's got swarm. So Kyle Williams is another one to the back end of the second I would watch for. Jalen Noel, Iowa State. I need to move him up. I've got him in a third, but he's gone before then. Second, third. Yeah, Jalen Noel is another one. A little bit smaller wide receiver, more of a slot. Very fast, very explosive, kind of swarmy also. Those are Isaiah Bond, not swarm, from Texas. Jalen Royals is Swarm. I don't know if they draft him in a second. My guess is they draft him in a third.
It's got to be Swarm.
You have
why
to.
Can't we just be? I've already, can't we just be catch the ball? Why
no, because the every chance that now Nick doesn't say this. Nick never says Swarm. Everybody who works for the Texans says Swarm, like media types.
Yeah.
D'Amico, everywhere he is, says Swarm. Nick doesn't say Swarm. I've never heard Nick say Swarm. But for D'Amico, instead of saying this guy's a dog, you have to just say he's Swarm.
He's Swarm.
Yeah. All right. All right. So that's how I look for guys. I'm like, I'm looking for Swarm. Yep. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. I'm looking for Ryan. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I know Lance has touched on this throughout the past, but I'm curious, as we're getting closer to the draft and more mocks are coming out and after we've had the pro days and interviews, where does Cam Ward really stand in regards to past first number one overall picks and or first round picks in general? I know previously Lance has stated that he wouldn't even be a first round grade. I believe it's in last year's draft or the year before, but I'm curious if after you've seen a little bit more tape or the pro day or interviews or learned his character or anything in regards to where we are now, has anything changed? And is he a formidable number one pick now, or is he still, you don't see a lot out of it and it's just going to be a reach, but because he's a quarterback?
No, I think it's a reach. I mean, no, nothing's changed. I already knew about his character, football character is very high. He's very serious about football. All that stuff's good. Can be a little inconsistent as a decision maker, has a good arm, a little more average as an athlete than you think. Like he's a plus athlete, but he's not a dynamic runner. Were you surprised by that, Del? He also doesn't look to run as much as you probably want him to. And as a matter of fact, he'll cruise kind of like from Bryce Young. I kept thinking, Bryce, run, what are you doing? Quit just cruising outside of the pocket looking to throw. Like, sometimes just run if it's there.
I wasn't surprised. The word on him coming out of Washington State wasn't that he was just going to escape the pocket. In fact, he took sacks because he always held onto the ball and tried to make plays with a bad offensive line. He is elusive inside the pocket. He's hard to bring down, but he's not trying to escape it quickly, which may become a problem depending on what Tennessee has to offer on that offensive line. Where he stands as a prospect, you would have more on that than me, but he was a competitor. He always believed that you had a shot with him, even with how bad that defense was last year. And he is a floor raiser, at least on the college level, and a ceiling raiser as well. He does both. The question for me is, how does that translate? Because he was a leader. I mean, if he's not there, Mario Cristobal has two seasons out of three where he doesn't make a bowl game. That's how bad the rest of the roster, particularly the defense, was. And Cam helped him win 10 games last year.
I don't have a problem with him being the first quarterback taken, and I understand quarterbacks get pushed up to the first pick all the time. I don't have a problem with that, but nothing changes. I'd already seen all of his tape by the time I made that comment, and, you know, he's a quarterback. Quarterbacks get pushed up.
Where would he have fell last year?
Last year he would have fallen after Bo Nix, so he'd have been the seventh quarterback.
And the year before, he wouldn't have been CJ or.
The year before, oh yeah, he would have been ahead of he would have been third, ahead of Levis and ahead of Richardson.
Yeah,
for sure, he would have been behind CJ. He would have been, but it might have been an interesting conversation. But he would have been behind CJ. He would have been first ahead of Kenny Pickett in 22. It would have been Cam and Kenny Pickett, and they both would have gone in the first round probably. But, you know, it's I don't have anything extra to say on him. I think I think his ceiling is good NFL starter. Not necessarily a huge, huge difference maker by himself. He needs things around him to be good. I think by NFL standards, but he's got a really, really good arm. Like he can throw it into some windows. He'll drop down and throw stupid angles. Sometimes he does that arm angle thing where he'll just drop it and make these throws that he doesn't have to. But that's across the board in college football now, where they all practice that, where they all want to run left and then throw. They run a run left and then throw
right.
These. I mean, well, Tyler Shuck does it on video. They want to run left, and then they want to drop their arm down. And
it's the Pat Mahomes effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Although Aaron Rodgers, Stafford,
Rodgers, and Mahomes are the big three.
Right, right.
And they've got their sons of Rodgers, sons of Zach Wilson was an admitted Aaron Rodgers stan. Pat, I want to say Pat copied Stafford a little bit, but Matt Stafford for sure has been a drop down demon with his arms slot. And then everyone wants to make plays on the move like Pat Mahomes. The problem is guys try to do too much of that stuff and they're not really equipped to do it. Instead of just making smart throws, you know, getting on platform and making a good throw. CJ Stroud doesn't try to do all that crap. You ever notice that? When do you see CJ try to run and make these arm angle, arm talent throws? He doesn't. He wants to throw from a set base. CJ Stroud is a pocket passer that is much more like Jared Goff than he is one of those guys. And I took so much crap for giving after the first year, his rookie year, Colin Cowherd was like, because Colin had said, you know, he loves reading my draft stuff, and he had brought up Jared Goff as the comp. And he started taking a bunch of crap after the rookie year. And I remember he made a comment. It was either to me or it's kind of like, maybe Jared Goff isn't the comp on this guy. Maybe that's too low. And then after last year, he's like, yeah, Jared Goff is the comp. This is right. He's a good quarterback. He plays like Jared Goff, which is great. I have no problem with CJ playing like Jared Goff.
Jared Goff had number one seed last year. Goff's been to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff, I don't know why there's so much Jared Goff.
Because he doesn't have the juice.
Oh.
He doesn't have the juice. He doesn't have Lamar
Detroit
stuff.
Pretty good
he doesn't have Joe Shiesty stuff. He doesn't have Pat Mahomes stuff.
What did he throw? 80? Was he 80% last year?
Yeah.
Completion percentage?
Give me a Jared Goff.
They believe he's a product of everything around him, and that's a death. That's death on the internet for quarterbacks when they don't believe that you are elevating and you are just a backpack and the team is carrying you, people can't stand it. They will tear you to shreds.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude made throws.
They say, hey, product of the system, that offensive line, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff is not helping them. He's not helping them. They're helping him. He's not a good quarterback. Okay. That's how they treat things.
That's true, though. I mean, we see
that's
that
how
with,
they look at it. That's
yes.
Make,
oh, Guy Lewis
I'm not
got
it's real,
banged
but that's how they
with
treat
that
it.
Bobby Cox with the Braves. It's the oldest thing in the book. You know, you can't be a reason for something.
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson got something.
Well, he was right, though. He had Kobe and Michael.
But Phil somehow escaped all that stuff because he had triangle offense.
Wow. Well,
and he had Shaq,
that was Tex
Kobe,
Winters offense.
Michael. I know. I know Tex Winters is the one who started. He was on his staff. But he got, but somehow, well, probably because he was the Zen Buddhist and
he had all these, he
but
had
that's
an aura.
True, though. He knew
Phil
how to handle
big
personalities.
Yeah,
that's
did.
All he had to do.
He did.
He
did
to
do that.
Rodman and Pippen and Jordan and Grant.
Bill Cartwright.
And Grant and
Steve
Ron
Kerr.
Harper was a good player. Like, I think Kerr
Steve
was pretty
Kerr.
Low-key. But
you think he was a problem for Phil Jackson?
John Paxson? He had to handle all of them.
Paxson was not an issue. But he was Bill Winnington?
Bill Winnington?
The Canadian?
Longley, the Australian.
Uwe Blob, the Australian, yeah.
Uwe Blob.
Luke Longley was. Uwe Blob was... Uwe Blob
Stacey
never played
King?
There.
I don't think so.
He had to handle Stacey King.
Shout out to Stacey King. Turning your time there from like a 10th or 11th man into a broadcasting career. He's been calling Bulls games forever.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good on him.
Matt Bullard.
Yeah, it
had a good run.
Well, Matt Bullard still works for the organization.
If you look at the amount of guys who are kind of fringe who end up, but that's the move.
John Crotty's been calling Heat games for
a decade plus.
Yeah,
didn't even play here.
No, but he was not a number. Well, he got time though with the Knicks and other teams, right?
Yeah,
he was a guy.
He was on
ESPN first.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. He was on ESPN.
Speaking
of that, my guy Pete Schrager, he's not really my guy, but
how about that?
Pete Schrager went from Good Morning Football
yesterday,
2 days ago, to he had one day off.
Oh.
To
he had
ESPN
to fly.
Today. ESPN today.
Yeah, he was on McAfee yesterday.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It didn't take long.
McAfee say that anyone slept with somebody's dad while he was on there?
Oh, allegedly.
Well, it was mute.
Did he spread any rumors?
I had it on mute.
Did he spread rumors and try to ruin people's lives?
Now McAfee every
and
time
then just
hear
went,
him,
eh, when he found out, eh.
He's allegedly.
He puts allegedly.
He does
She'll
put the
fine.
Disclaimer. He
the
does,
families will be fine.
He put the disclaimer in front of his show every day. Says, don't sue me. And McAfee would say, I didn't start the rumors.
Let's break it here. Let's talk about Billy Brown. All right. Billy Brown doesn't. Allegedly, Billy Brown. No, not allegedly. Billy Brown fixes toilets. Billy Brown fixes.
Nothing alleged.
There's
about
nothing
that.
Alleged about it. Okay. Billy Brown does the job. Okay. We can say, oh, Billy, you got a broken toilet or shower or pipes or whatever. Billy Brown will fix it. Not allegedly. Billy Brown's going to come. His guy, well, not Billy Brown per se. His guys are going to come. He's got trucks all over the city. If you can hear us, he can get to you. If you have a problem, don't. Listen, Lance was talking about, didn't you say something? Well, maybe I could fix this.
I did. One of the
yeah, the, no, I don't think so.
The ball cock thing and that you flush and then it goes up or whatever. And then my wife kept saying, something's wrong with this. It's not always, you know, I have to. And she told me she wanted it. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Well, is it the flapper? I mean,
it's the thing. I don't know. Billy Brown's guy came out and did it and it works. It works better than when I did it, according to my wife.
You mean a real plumber came out and fixed it as opposed to how you did it?
Yeah, a guy who plumbs.
Yeah, plumbs. And listen, if you're somebody that has any issue whatsoever, all right, even if it's the flapper, you don't know how to change it like Lance, all you need is Billy Brown.
I knew how.
Okay.
My wife didn't like how it was for some reason.
Well, listen, your wife might not like how you do stuff. And if your wife doesn't, good. Good for Billy, because Billy's guys will come and they'll fix it. No charge just to show up to give you a consultation like other guys do. Billy Brown's guys are the best. You have an issue. Put this phone number in your phone, 281-488-6238. Or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.